The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Now, I want to talk about letters because a couple of months ago when I was standing in for Ryan, I was speaking to Alison Dean. She had a dilemma about whether or not to read a collection of hundreds of letters that were written between her parents, who are both deceased now, during the early years of their relationship in England in the 1950s. A lot of people were texting in saying, don't read the letters, preserve their privacy. Whereas anyone who was even half a historian was going, you must read that. This is how we know anything about anything. But anyway, what did she decide to do in the end? Because Alison is on the line. Good morning to you, Alison.
Hi, Oliver. How are you doing?
Very well. Over in County Clare, we should say. So, what happened in the end? You had the letters. You didn't know whether you were going to open them or not. What did you decide to do?
Well, after I spoke to you the last time, the overwhelming kind of response from everybody I knew was read them. Definitely read them.
Yes.
So, I read them.
Brilliant. And when did you read them?
Just started there on kind of New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Gave myself a four-day run-in.
And what do you mean a four-day run-in? You were stealing yourself.
I wanted to sit down and read them kind of, you know, all together if I could, or, you know, as much as I could, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got a good go at it. And I probably have about six or seven left to go.
Wow. Out of about 300 we're talking.
Yeah.
So you did a lot of reading. And that's
a lot of reading,
delved right into the lives of your parents. I'm kind of relieved for you, to be honest, that you've read them, just to be a little biased on this subject. Tell us what you discovered.
Nothing wild, you know. There's no major skeletons in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good. But yeah, just learned a lot about them when they were young. They were, you know, they were innocent. They were, I don't know. They were just kind of, you know, teenagers, and they didn't know what they were doing. And initially they were meeting kind of after a church meeting, and then they were meeting on the train and.
Ah.
That was very romantic sounding, you know, they'd both appear at Liverpool Street and meet together, and that was lovely. But I suppose, you know, the overwhelming thing is that the time was just so different. They struggled for everything. My father particularly, he put himself through college by working during the day on building sites and then going to college at night, and he was always tired, and somebody was always sick, somebody always had a cold or the flu or something, and they just worked really hard for everything they had, you know.
That's interesting, and it strikes a chord with us now, doesn't it? So, I mean, it starts in 1949, so it's post-war, it's over in England, things are not particularly rosy there, but everyone seems to be sick all the time in the letters.
Yeah, every week somebody, my mother obviously lives with her parents, you know, one of them is unwell, someone's got a cold, someone's got a flu, someone's in bed. There's always something like that, and they, you know, they're just struggling for every bit of money that they have, and, you know, food doesn't sound like it's overly available. She talks about coupons for sweets and coupons for different things they've been saving up, and when they get married, they're just saving like crazy, saving their money like crazy to get married at all, you know.
Tell us about, there's something to do with a duffel coat?
Yeah, very fun. I mean, it's just, there was a few sort of threads in it that I felt, you know, I know about that. I saw that, or I, you know, like my dad would say things, and I could hear him saying them, you know, in the letters he would say, you know, time's getting on, and he would say that to me all the time. But yeah, my mother sent off, when he went to the RAF in 1954, mm-hmm. he had a two-year time in there, and she talks about sending off his duffel coat to be cleaned, and it comes back and she's all delighted with it because it hasn't lost a button or whatever.
Yeah.
So she passes it up and sends it off to him. But when I was in, you know, my 20s, I remember him wearing the duffel coat, you know.
The same one.
Same duffel coat, yeah.
I mean, that was the thing about clothes then. You may not have many items, but they lasted, didn't they?
Yeah, and they mended things. I mean, there was, you know, talk of, oh, I put a new zip in this, and I've sent this to the menders, and I've sent that to get fixed. And so very different, you know, to us today, where if something's wrong with it, you just throw it out and start again. So there's a lot to be learned, I think, from them days, you know.
They were a married couple, as you say, living apart because he was in the RAF. Are there rows in the letters?
Not so much in the letters, but they always talk about, oh, I'm sorry about what I said at the train station, or, you know, sorry about the quarrel we had on our weekend or whatever. I mean, at the beginning he was getting very little leave, And then by the end, he seemed to be getting more leave, so they were seeing each other more often. But you could feel in the letters the kind of, you know, how difficult it is to conduct a relationship, you know, when you're married, you're newly married and you're writing to each other. And it seemed very difficult for them to kind of, you know, keep everything on an even keel. So I think they did have quarrels, all right. Although they called them quarrels, which I thought was kind of cute.
That's very, very kind of romantic era language, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Tell me, when people are sort of saying, don't read the letters, they're too personal and you're intruding on privacy, did you feel a bit squeamish during those moments in particular?
Not really. There was nothing in there that would make you kind of go, oh no, I think I need to put that one down. And if there was, you would. You'd put it down. You'd just go, no, I won't read that. That sounds personal. But they were very newsy. You know, there was lots of kind of like news about what was happening with my aunts and my cousins and my grandparents and, you know, different people in the family. So I didn't really get that feeling. No, they were quite funny in a lot of ways. You know, there was a lot of humour in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad was a funny man. He was very serious. And but when he was funny, he was very funny, you know, that kind of way. So he comes across, you can read his humour, and he just makes you smile when you read some of the stuff. Like, he talks in military time, it's all 600 hours and all this stuff, and he did that all the time anyway. And his joy in the RAF, he just loved it. He absolutely loved flying planes. I mean, some of the stuff he writes about doing loops and getting sick, but wanting to go back and do it again because he loved it. And it's interesting. I learned a lot about him in particular, I think, you know.
Yeah, stuff that wouldn't have emerged if you hadn't opened the letters.
No.
What's amazing is that the man and the parents that you knew emerged through the letters. They're obviously very honest because they were such intimate letters to each other that you can almost hear their voice and hear their tone through the letters.
Yeah, you can. You can really hear the people that I knew. Now, obviously, as I say, the early letters in 1949, they're very nervous and they're constantly talking about, you know, oh, you're being faithful, dear, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they're very unsure of each other and everything, really.
Yeah.
But later on, they sound like my mum and dad talking. It's nice. It's been a really lovely experience to kind of get a bit inside their heads a little bit.
Did it change the view that you have of your parents?
I think the only thing, it made me a little bit sad that perhaps I didn't appreciate them as much as I should have done. You know, they did. They worked so hard, particularly my father. I mean, he had some really tough times in the beginning in the RAF and when he was doing his degree. It was hard, and he was doing that in order to provide a life for his family. You know, he didn't know he was going to have, but obviously for the family he did have. And sometimes I think we perhaps don't, you have enough respect for that, and you know, I'm sorry that he's not here for me to say to him, God, you know, you were great, well done.
But at the same time, that's a generational issue, really, isn't it? I mean, no generation is going to appreciate the difficulties and struggles of the previous
probably
one.
Not.
So you
probably
shouldn't
not.
Be too hard on yourself for that one. I mean, you've honoured their memory beautifully, to be honest, you know, because you've opened up the letters, as you say, you've relieved you haven't found anything too personal or private in it. You wonder, can the same be said when people, if people ever open up a chain of WhatsApp messages between couples
I think that's
70 years time?
Really, it really strikes you that this is very, they're very respectful in what they're saying, and they're apologising because, you know, the paper doesn't match the envelopes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's a completely different age. It's a totally different thing, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, imagine now, you know, this pair have been going out together for 6-7 years, and then they were married, and the respect in the letters is lovely, you know. Yeah. And you're thinking, gosh, you know, kids nowadays, they know each other for 5 minutes and there's, you know, naked pictures are getting sent around the gaff. You know, it's just such a different...
It's no complaining about the envelope not matching the page.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Oh, God. You haven't finished them yet, actually. You still have a little bit to go, have you?
I've probably a few, very few. My dad kind of was slowing down big time in his writing. I met about September and he came out of the RAF in... October, the end of October 1956. So I'm just,
and the correspondence ends then, doesn't it, because they're together?
Yeah, they're obviously moved in together, and then they had their first baby in December of 1957.
So it is a portrait of their lives before the kids come along.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and they're starting to talk a little bit more about that now. There was obviously a lot of talk about the wedding in 1955 coming up to getting married, and now they're sort of saying, you know, it'd be lovely to have a baby and Yeah. What'll we do? And I'll have to give up work and all this stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
So, I mean, overall, you must be glad that you've opened the letters and had a look at them.
I am. Yeah, yeah. I made some notes and I'll probably read them again. I think it is just a lovely picture of the life at that time and how things were going and what they did. And yeah, it's lovely.
Well, it's a great insight. And thanks a million for following up with us again, letting us know how you got on, because I'm sure there are other people out there with letters as well wondering what to do. And I suppose your advice is don't be afraid. Go in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll always learn something good. I mean, God, you know, I very much doubt they'd have kept the letters if there was something awful in there. So,
exactly.
I think it's a great thing to do. And thanks for following up. I appreciate it. It's nice to...
Alison, Dean, look after yourself down in Clare. Take care.
Yes, thank you. You too. Mind yourself.
Thanks a million.
Thanks.
Back after the break.
Bye.